We're thankful to have each and every person on the call tonight. We are thankful Brother John DeBerry is taking place for his brother Tony, who is unfortunately ill tonight, and we are thankful that he's decided to join us and fill in for his brother. Tonight, to our listening audience that are not members of the Church of Christ, we pray you open up your Bible, and we will study tonight the pattern of New Testament worship. And the person to be speaking tonight will be Brother John DeBerry. He's the minister of the Colvin Avenue Church of Christ in Memphis, Tennessee. And at this time, we're going to open Brother DeBerry up and let him tell us the truth about New Testament pattern of worship. Brother DeBerry.
Thank you very much for having me tonight, and I want you to continue to pray for my brother and his family. They're all sick at this time, and so they all need your prayers and admonitions, and we thank God for all that he does for us and taking care of us each and every day of our life. And so I appreciate the opportunity to come before you tonight, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you tonight, and I hope that I can say something that will be beneficial, uplifting, and edifying to each and every one of you. I am John DeBerry Jr., and I appreciate this fine congregation for what they are doing in order to make sure that the gospel is preached all over the world. And this it has been a wonderful event, this worldwide or this nationwide gospel meeting. And I pray that much and everlasting good will be accomplished by the things which are done. Our topic is the pattern of New Testament worship. There is something that we need to understand about our God and our Father in heaven. God does nothing that is arbitrary. Everything God does is according to pattern, it is according to system, and it is according to his law. And basically, when we talk about God, we're talking about God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God who created the world, it is God who has given us all that we have. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. We've said all the time that if there is creation, then that demands a creator. If there is design, then that demands a designer. If there is life, that demands a life giver. So we know that everything God does is according to pattern. Everything God does is according to system. This is the reason why our Lord and our Savior, on one occasion, when preaching to people, the Lord said very clearly, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." The liberty that we have in this world as we study, as we strive to go to heaven, as we are doing everything we can to please our God and our Father in heaven, is based upon us following the pattern that God has given. When we look at what the Apostle Paul said in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 4, Paul says something that is a principle, and when it's concerning the character of God and the attitude that God has toward all men. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 4, Paul said, "Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge." Notice what Paul said, the knowledge of the truth. Those who don't come to the knowledge of the truth will not find the way God wants to be worshiped. They will not find the proper way to give praise and adoration and thanksgiving to their God and Father in heaven. They will not find a way within themselves. I've said many times that as Jesus said to the woman at the well in the book of John chapter 4, somewhere around verses 24, when I conclude this statement in my thesis, when this woman is pointing to the mountain, she's pointing to the traditions. She's pointing to the cultures. She's pointing to those things that she has heard and those things that she probably has been comfortable with the majority of her life. The Lord let her know that worship is not about that mountain, and that worship is not about your traditions, and worship is not about the cultures that are around you. Jesus says to this woman, God is a spirit. God is a spirit being. and they that worship him, who show him adoration, praise, and thanksgiving, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That is a divine injunction. God is saying that worship has a pattern. Worship is not willy-nilly. It is not something that we make up as we go. It has nothing to do with what we feel or what we want. God has given us commands on how he wants to be worshiped. Why has God done this? Why does God give us a pattern of New Testament worship? Why does God give us a pattern of New Testament life? As Peter said very well in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 9, Peter said, God is not willing. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How am I going to change? How am I going to repent? How am I going to acknowledge the way, the will, and the word of God unless I repent? And I will not repent unless I know what is true. So this is the reason why we have a pattern of New Testament worship. If you remember those men on Pentecost, when Peter and the apostles stood there on that day, and they preached the gospel to those individuals. That on that day when in Acts chapter 2, I believe it is, somewhere around verses 22, when Peter stood there and the Lord gave him that right, saying, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. And the apostles were given legislative authority. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. In essence, if the Lord is going to give us pattern, he gave legislative authority to the apostles for them to tell us how to worship in the New Testament church. When Peter stood on that day, he said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken and with wicked hands, according to Peter and the apostles, had crucified and slain. What did Peter do on that day? He did what the Lord told him to do. He preached the truth. He opened the doors. He gave the way. He expressed the pattern. When he said these things, the Bible says that they were pricked in their hearts there in Acts chapter 2, and they began to cry out to Peter and the apostles, men, brethren, what must we do? In essence, what they are asking, what can we dream up? They're not asking, what can we dream up? What can we figure out? Jeremiah has already said it many years ago. When Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10, oh, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walk it to direct his steps. We cannot direct our steps. And this is why God gives us a pattern, a pattern. We are to trust in the Lord and lean not on our own understanding. So going back to Acts chapter 2, when Peter stood there on that day with the apostles and they cried out, what must we do? They didn't tell them, well, just go figure it out. They didn't tell them just whatever feels good, do it. They didn't tell them, well, just follow your faith, follow your heart. They didn't tell them, well, talk to your parents. What's the tradition? What's the ethnic behavior of your culture? They didn't tell them any of those things. Why? Because as I said on the offset of our thesis tonight, God is a God of pattern. God is a God of system. God is a God of order. And therefore, they were given direct commands, divine injunctions that they had to follow. What did he tell them? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. What were they told on that day? They were told on that day how to please God according to pattern, according to system, because they had obeyed. And the Bible says, notice now, everybody doesn't want the truth. And that's why the scriptures say, they that gladly received the word. The scriptures could have substituted. They that gladly wanted to follow the pattern. They that gladly wanted to obey the will of God. They that gladly wanted to accept the truth. But the scripture says very clearly there, they that gladly received the word were baptized. They were baptized in that same day, and there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, that they are members of the Lord's church, now that they have been baptized for the remission of their sins, now that they have been born again, recreated, revived, restored, rejuvenated, forgiven, now they have to serve God. In verses 22, the scriptures say, and they continued steadfastly, notice, in the apostles' doctrine. Did the apostles give something new? No. Christ had told them that they would be inspired by the Holy Spirit. That would be another comforter. They would receive the baptismal measure of the Holy Ghost, and they would be taught those things that they need to know. So now as children of God, they followed the apostles' doctrine, who had been told, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. They worship God in the breaking of bread and prayers. And the Bible says in verses 43, and fear came up on every soul. In verses 44, and all that believed were together. In verses 46, and they continue daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, eating their meat with gladness, singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The saved were added to the church. Why? Because they followed the pattern. They followed Peter and the apostles' commands. They followed the divine injunction. Solomon said a long time ago in the book of Proverbs chapter 21, and verses 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts, or examines and weighs the hearts. In Proverbs 16 and verses 2, all the ways or thoughts of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. And that says, mankind can do no wrong in his own eyes, but God weighs and God knows and God examines mankind, and man has to follow the pattern that God has given him. For this reason, because man will devise his own way, God has given man a pattern of how he wants to be worshipped. This is why Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Because man can't follow his emotions. Man can't even follow his intellect, because it will lead him wrong. We might notice the children of Israel. Folks say, well, if it feels good, and they'll pat the blood pump, they'll pat their hearts and say, I just know in my heart that that's what God wants me to do. But that's not the standard, because God is a God of order. God is a God of pattern. Therefore, we have to ask, what does God want me to do? I want you to imagine coming in the plains outside of Egypt, in the route to Canaan. All of a sudden you hear the music and debauchery and heathenism. Are those Egyptians? No, those are not Egyptians. Those are the people of God. the same people he led across the Red Sea on dry ground, the same people that watched God destroy the religious system of the Egyptians with the 10 plagues, the same God that had turned the sun off, the same God that had dropped the firstborn, now they are dancing around worshiping around a golden calf, because in their hearts and minds, that was what was acceptable at this time. This is why God is a God of order and God is a God of system, because we must follow his law. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the brethren there in Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through verses 4, Paul asks a simple question. You got a lot of folks who say, well, I just don't believe in worshiping like that. I just have to have something that makes me feel good or peps me up. When the Lord tells us to sing with the spirit and the understanding, when the Lord tells us to give as we prosper, when the Lord tells us to preach without the addition and subtraction of man's ways and will, when the Lord tells us to remember his son by communing on the first day of the week, when God tells us these things, God's not telling us these things just so that you'll have something to fill up the Bible. God's telling you these things because that's his will, that's his way, that's his word. Paul said, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Paul said, God forbid. God say no. Yea, let God be true. God who gives the pattern, God who gives the directives, let God be true and every man a liar, because God's fidelity is without question. We praise God's name as commanded. Isaiah chapter 25 and verses 1, we exalt him. Why? Because we should. Psalms chapter 71 and verses 8, Exodus 23 and verses 25. Paul prayed and sang praises unto God. Acts 16 and 25. They gave thanks. Romans 10 and verses 1. They gave glory to God, Romans 11 and verses 36. In other words, what God is saying is, I want to be worshiped by the pattern that I have given and in the fashion that I have been given. And it really doesn't matter whether you or I or anybody agree with it. We've got to follow what God has said, because he does nothing arbitrary. Everything is according to rule, to law, to system, to directions, and to order. Jude wrote in Jude verses 3, beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful to me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Notice what Jude said, which was once delivered unto the saints. What do you mean, Jude, once delivered? When the faith was delivered, the authority was delivered, the organization was delivered, the worship was delivered. It was all delivered in the faith. When we look at God's word, my brothers and sisters and friends, it is inclusive and exclusive at the same time. It is inclusive and exclusive at the same time. When God wants us to do something, God will tell us to do it. If God does not want us to do something, God can exclude it from his orders, because God is a God of pattern. His word is inclusive and exclusive at the same time. When we read the scriptures, we might go, for instance, let me just give you an example. In the book of Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, I want you to notice something over there as we might study together. As the Apostle Paul was talking to the brethren at Colossae, He was talking about Christian virtues and Christianity and strong virtues, something that we really need to revisit in this country today, something we need to talk about. We need to talk about returning to the scriptures, returning to the basics, returning to what is written. The Apostle Paul said to them, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts," in verses 15, "to the which also you are called in one body," Paul said, "and be you thankful." Then Paul makes a statement in verses 16. Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." The Apostle Paul is being directive. Remember, the apostles had been given legislative authority. "Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The Apostle Paul here had a perfect opportunity. If there were certain things that we see in the marketplace today, where we have these huge productions, big market corporate churches that put on shows every Sunday that will rival the halftime at Super Bowl, and people just flock in to hear this. God didn't tell us to come to the church to be entertained. I tell folks all the time, when we worship according to the pattern of New Testament worship, when we worship together, there is only one spectator in the house. There is only one person to watch in the house. The Lord said, "Well, there are two or three gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them." All of us are participants. All of us have to pray with the spirit and understanding. All of us have to sing with the spirit and understanding. All of us have to preach with the spirit and understanding. All of us have to give with the spirit and understanding. All of us have to remember the death of Jesus Christ every Lord's Day in an unbroken, continuous remembrance of his death. Remember by the communing or the taking of those emblems every Lord's Day with the spirit and understanding. Why? That's Christ's divine injunction. His divine directive is, God is a spirit, and they that worship. If your worship is going to be acceptable, then you are worshiping him. He's not worshiping us. He's not worshiping our music talent. He's not worshiping our abilities. He's not worshiping our charisma. We are there to worship him and what he has done for us. So this is why Paul said to the brethren, "Let the word dwell in you richly." When the word is dwelling in a person, that person will worship the Lord by the New Testament pattern. This is why we are told to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our soul, and we can substitute, keep us in the pattern that the New Testament gives us. In verses 17 of Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul continues his thesis and completes his thought. He says, "And whatsoever you do," notice what Paul says, "whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name or by the authority of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Every one of us have to ask ourselves, when we call ourselves worshiping, is what I'm doing by the authority of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or am I doing this by the authority of man? Am I following the precepts and commandments of the Lord, or am I following the doctrines and the commandments of men? Every one of us have to ask ourselves this question from time to time. The Apostle Paul is also very clear with the brethren at Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 19, notice what Paul said. Speaking to yourselves, that means teaching one another, admonishing, edifying one another, speaking to yourselves. We know what we use to speak. We speak with our voice. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs. And here goes the inclusiveness and the exclusiveness. Singing to make melody, not on an instrument, but melody in your heart. What the Lord is saying is, if you are following my pattern, if you are following the divine injunction, if you are following my directions, then you won't act like the Israelites who made up their own religion, tore off the clothing, made a golden calf, and danced around the calf as though it saved it. No, what God wants us to know is if we are submitting ourselves to God, as he says in verses 21, then we will sing and make melody in your heart. That word melody means you have communion with God when you are doing what God has commanded you to do. We might feel good about something. We might feel uplifted in our physical man about something. But Jesus said very clearly as he spoke to the people there in the book of John chapter 14, Jesus said around verses 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh or travels or obeys the Father but by me or by my leadership. And that's why the Hebrew writer said to the Hebrews who were ready to quit, throw up their hands and walk away from the New Testament pattern, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood or the leadership of Christ. He says in verses 16 of Hebrew chapter 4, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy or find grace in time of need. Why? As we said earlier, God wants all men to be saved. The scriptures tell us, therefore, in Romans chapter 10 and verses 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're going to develop faith so that you can follow the New Testament pattern of worship, then you're going to have to hear the word of God. Hebrew chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. The Apostle Paul realized that there are those who are wrestling with themselves because, as John said one time, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the eye, and the pride of life. Too much of what we see in the marketplace today that is disguised as worship is simply playing to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. The Apostle Paul therefore said in Colossians 3 and verses 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We have to do what the Lord commanded us to do. In Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13, Jesus tells us to stay with the pattern. Enter ye in at the straight gate, the Lord says, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. The 11 o'clock hour every Sunday is filled with good, honest, sincere people who think they are worshiping God. Are they sincere? Absolutely. But they are sincerely wrong. Are they honorable people? Yes. These are folks who want to do right. They are sincere, but they are sincerely mistaken. And this is why Jesus said, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. When you look at that word straight in that context, comes from the Greek word stenos, basically, which means narrow, restrained, restricted. Jesus says, I have given you a pattern, and you got to stay within the pattern. I remember when my big mama used to make quilts. They would cut out, my dear and big mama would cut out pieces of paper, and they would put a piece of fabric on that pattern, and they would follow that pattern when they cut that fabric so it could make the beautiful pictures on their quilts. What were they doing? They were following the pattern. That word narrow that Jesus uses, it means compressed, confined, difficult. In other words, there are going to be those that don't have it in them to worship God the way God wants to be worshiped. The Lord sent Saul down to destroy a people. And when he came back, God said, kill man, woman, babe, and suckling. Saul came back with old King Agag and with all types of livestock. God basically says, what is all that I hear? And if you don't mind me paraphrasing, and Saul did what many folks do today, because Saul is often called the father of religious subjectivism. Saul said, God, I had a better idea. I had a better idea than what you told me. I'm going to build this fire god. Oh, God, we're going to build a fire. And we're going to put all these animals on this fire god. And, oh, God, we're going to burn them all up. And, oh, King Agag, we're going to have a ceremony before we take his life. And he says, I'm going to make a great sacrifice to you. You know what God told Saul? God told Saul that obedience is better than sacrifice. What is God saying to all of us today? God is saying, obey me. Follow my pattern. John said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from our sins. In essence, brothers and sisters, what God is saying is we have to follow the pattern. We have to do as he's been commanded. So I want you to take this as we close and we go toward our conclusion today. When we worship, it must be motivated by a person who wants to serve his God, to bow before his God, to obey his God, to follow his pattern. So therefore, there must be reverence. If we don't, you're going to find yourself at what the Lord called in Matthew chapter 15 and verses 9 when he called it vain worship. When you add and subtract and you don't do what God has commanded, God rejects it. Revelations 22, 18 and 19. When we follow what man has dreamed up, and men have created religion after religion, doctrine after doctrine, variations in worship, variations in music. There are those who refuse to commune. There are those who refuse to baptize. How in the world do you claim you're worshiping a God that with high-handed transgression, you look in his face and say, I ain't going to do what you told me to do? When you follow the doctrines and commandments of men, Matthew 15, 7 through 9, how in the world can you be worshiping God? The Lord wants true worship, John 4, 21 through verses 24. So when we reject God, we are rejecting his worship, his authority, and his law. If you want to worship God, you got to remember the Lord every Lord's Day. You remember that young man that's hanging between two thieves on a garbage heap on the outside of Jerusalem. Jesus Christ died for my sins and I remember him every Lord's Day. Acts 20 and 7. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28. 1 Corinthians 10 and 16. I give not to show off my wealth or my blessings or for folks to give me praise, but I give because God has prospered me and I want him to understand my thanksgiving. That's worship. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. When I pray, I'm not praying so God can know I know big words and I've been to school. I'm praying because I am worshiping him. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. When I sing, I'm not showing off my voice or my mechanical instrumental technique, but I am teaching, I am admonishing, I am praising, I am giving reverence to God with the fruit of my lips as I've been commanded. Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16. And therefore, finally, when we teach the word, when we teach the word, we're teaching men the New Testament pattern, and the Lord will come back again. And when you have heard what is written within the scripture, that means that you've heard the word of God. You've heard how you must worship. You've heard when you must worship. You've heard the attitude of your worship. You've heard who's judging your worship. It is not for me to judge your worship because I can only see the outward appearance. But as God said to the prophet when he was choosing someone for the kingdom of Israel, he says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. When I hear God's word and I believe it with all of my heart, it's going to move me to worship God the way he said he wants to be worshiped and not the way I feel he ought to be worshiped. Because without that type of faith that leads me to work, James said that faith without works is dead, the type of faith that makes me obey the pattern and the divine injunction will make me repent and say, God, I know I've been worshiping you wrong. I have offered you music you didn't tell me. I have offered you prayers that weren't sincere. I have forgotten your son Lord's Day after Lord's Day without remembering his death by communion. I have not given as I prosper, but I gave as I was institutionally instructed. I repent of this, Lord, and I want to worship you properly. And you confess that Jesus is the Son of God because the Lord made a deal with all of us. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. And we bury our old man, rise to walk in the newness of life, and we worship God again till he comes back, till Jesus comes back. Remember this as I close. Jesus said it out of his own mouth. In Matthew 7, 22 and 23, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Lord, didn't I sing? Lord, did you hear me playing? Lord, did you see what I gave? Lord, did you see how many scriptures I quoted? Many will say, have I not prophesied in your name? And in thy name cast out devils, done many mighty works. And in thy name done these wonderful works. And you know what the Lord said I'm going to say to those individuals who didn't worship me according to pattern, did not serve me according to my will, who refused to obey me. And then he says, I, when they get through talking, now I'm talking, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The Lord's going to say, we never had a relationship. It was never about me. It was always about you. I was in the room, but you pretended I wasn't even in the room. It was always about you. There is a pattern. We have to follow the pattern if we're going to serve our God and our Father in heaven. Thank you for listening.
Wow, thank you, Brother DeBerry. We are very thankful that you've done exactly what we wanted our audience to hear, and that is that there is a pattern of worship that's acceptable to God, and you've done that. All week we've talked about worship, why men should be preaching in worship, why we should be taking the Lord's Supper in worship, how we should be worshiping in spirit and truth. And now we have that distinct pattern that we know the five acts of worship, singing, praying, giving, taking communion every Sunday, and preaching the Word of God. We're thankful for you bringing us this message and making it very plain. Tomorrow night, Brother Mark Teske, he will talk about that vain worship that Brother DeBerry hit on tonight. There is a worship that is not acceptable to God. It's in vain. It's empty. And so we thank you. We thank you so very much, Brother DeBerry, for stepping in for your brother. And we are praying for him, his family, those who are sick in his home. We thank you for stepping in for him. And we want to say to our visiting audience, we thank you, especially if you're not a member of the Church of Christ. We want you to know that we want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. We believe that the Bible is right. And by obeying the gospel, by being baptized, we add to that true church and partake in that New Testament pattern of worship. And so you want to do that, you can email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will arrange for your baptism wherever you are in the United States or wherever you are. We will get a sound doctrine, Church of Christ preacher to you to make sure you understand what you're doing. And we'll get you baptized. And then you too can be a part of the New Testament pattern of worship where God is the audience and not us. And so that we are thankful for you. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you say, I got a question about what Brother DeBerry said. Go ahead and email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Or perhaps you just say, I just want to go back and listen to it one more time, Brother Brooks. Go to our website at hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. And there you go to Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. And all of our flyers are there, all of our speakers since May. All of the subjects are there, all the topics, and all of the recorded messages are there. They're free downloads, and we just download it and listen to yourself. Share it with others. Share our flyers. And we pray that God will help you to receive with meekness his engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Let us pray to God tonight. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. And we're so thankful for Brother John D. Berry, who stepped in for his brother. We pray a special prayer for Brother Tony D. Berry and his family as they're dealing with illnesses in the home. And we thank you, Father, for always providing a ram in the bush in the person of Brother John, which is a brother of Brother Tony D. Berry. And we pray, Father, for their family, for their well-being, and for their health. And we also pray for our listening audience, a special prayer for the visitors who are not members of the Church of Christ, who've been invited to hear our call. We pray that they have received it with meekness. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, that they are reminded, Lord, tonight, that there is a pattern of worship that we must be obedient to. If they're in congregations that have left this pattern, that they too will consider, Lord, returning, restoring back to the New Testament pattern of worship and not putting risk to their souls. Thank you, Father, for all those who are listening. Thank you for all you've done for us. We love you, and we love your Son for giving his life. Thank you for Holy Spirit for giving us the Scripture, guiding the apostles and prophets in writing of the Scripture, and we can know it's truth, guided by the Holy Spirit. We love you, Father. Thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, host minister of this Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. Please join us tomorrow night from 9 to 9:30. Brother Mark Teske will speak on the subject, worshiping in vain. It is my prayer that as you lay down tonight, that you can lay down, as Paul was able to say, and receive peace that were beyond understanding. If you have not obeyed God, pray that you will understand that peace only comes when you're in obedience to his will. Have a good night. Have a peaceful rest. Thank you for calling.